This is Dr. Andy of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour, getting ready now to introduce you to Brendan Constantine. Brendan Constantine was first brought to my attention years ago by a mutual friend of ours named Jamie Hecht, with whom I studied in London back in the mid to late 1980s. Brendan and I are contemporaries in that we were born the same year. He, however, has an impressive record of publication. Collections called Letters to Guns, released in February of 2009 from Red Hen Press. His work has appeared in a number of journals, including Plowshares, which is one of the top 10 journals where you want to find your work, Field, Ninth Letter, The Pinch, Art Life, and the LA Times, bestseller, The Underground Guide to Los Angeles. He has a collection called Birthday Girl with Possum from the 2011 Right Bloody Press. That was the year. That was a nominee for the National Book Award. His most recent collection is Calamity Joe from Red Hen Press. I saw him read from this and some of these other books down at the public library in Lodi, California, just about an hour south, maybe a little bit more than an hour south of Davis, of Sacramento. And, boy, I was really knocked out by the power and the delivery and the eloquence of the poetry of Brendan Constantine. So I'm pleased that he could join me on the radio show today, and I'm sure it'll be one of many visits. Brendan Constantine, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Brendan Constantine, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Great to have you here, and I'm glad that this time worked out for you. And I really enjoyed seeing you read down in Lodi several weeks ago.
The Starry Night Poetry Series. What a wonderful group of poets.
Absolutely. And really committed. D.B. Pacini runs that group every month, and I encourage people who have time on a Sunday to see some poetry to investigate that.
Yeah, really gets a treat. Yeah, it really is.
And in support of your most recent books, you got to do some traveling, which poets don't always get to do in terms of sharing the good news about their verse. Can you say something about your most recent book tour?
Yes. This was my second book with Red Hen Press. And this time around, we were able to put together a fairly aggressive promotional tour with help from the James Irvine Foundation. But it wasn't just a question of promoting the book, because it was also an opportunity to just go and visit schools and correctional facilities and galleries and independent writing groups and libraries and pretty much everywhere where the arts of language thrive or could do some good. And so, you know, for a good part of that tour, the fact that I had a book was sort of beside the point. It was, I was out touring for the book, but it was also an opportunity to go visit lots of people and just see what was happening, in poetry in my state.
And I know that's a lot of fun for you because, as you were just alluding to, you, have presented poetry not as, or perhaps not only as, the kind of, insulated reflections of you know, highly emotive intellectuals, but rather something that can inspire groups that might be groups of children, groups of prisoners, as you mentioned, and also your work with the Alzheimer's Poetry Project. It's really important work that you do, and something that people don't always associate with poetry.
I think the skills of poetry. Simile, metaphor, hyperbole, exaggeration, image, even our meters and rhyming and rhythm, all of these elements, I think are useful skills. I think they're necessary skills. And I think that, and for instance, in the case of children, I think that any young writer or any young person, who is armed with these tools, who has some agency with the language of poetry, as a means of slowing down the world around them and being able to get a grip on it. Paul Valéry said that poetry was a language inside a language, and I think that I think teaching poetry is a means of helping someone double their available vocabulary, or perhaps gifting them with an emotional vocabulary on top of the practical one that they already have for day-to-day living. So I think it's useful. You know, I don't have illusions that everyone I meet is going to want to run out there and become a poet. Heaven forbid, somebody's got to make a living.
Right.
But somebody's got to eat.
What would happen to the economy, for sure?
Yeah, you know, but I do think that a poet I know and admire named Ed Skoog said it very well when he said that metaphor is a gateway to compassion. And I think that that's something we can always use.
That's terrific. Brendan Constantine is my guest today. You can find out more about him at brendanconstantine.com.
Hey.
Now, you must have some background in theater. I know from your bio online that you're the child of two working actors, and you do more with the page, the written and performed word, than poets typically do or can do. And so I'm wondering if you could say something about performance as an important tool of the poet.
Oh, sure. Well, I do think that more and more we're asking a great deal of our audiences. I think with so much competing for attention, and I think with the amount of information that people are expected to keep track of these days, sometimes I worry that that a balance has shifted somewhere, and that it's quite possible we're asking more of people than we used to. And in that case, I think that you really can't just sit there with your page over your face and read in a dry monotone. I think it, more and more I regard it as good manners to try to engage the audience. I don't act out my poems, but I do try to vary the way I present them, and to deliver them to the people around me as though I really was sitting with them individually. And I come from a family of actors. Folks will probably recognize my father most recently from a film called My Big Fat Greek Wedding, in which he played Neil Vardalos's father, the man running around with a bottle of Windex. That's Michael Constantine. That's my dad.
That's great.
And my mother was a regular for many years on a soap opera, actually from its beginning, on Young and the Restless. She played a character known as Liz Foster, who only recently, after over 30 years on that show, met her end. And she's also got a steady fan base of people that know her from motion pictures and science fiction and horror films like Starship Troopers and The Frighteners and that kind of thing. And they're both still working, and they're also both writing now.
That must be so much fun for you. I have to ask, because I've really enjoyed Paul Verhoeven's Starship Troopers on DVD a number of times, and I think people at home are wondering what role she had in that film.
Mom is one of the point-counterpoint debaters that are arguing whether or not the insects are intelligent.
Excellent.
My mother stamps her foot at her adversary and demands that there must be a hive mind. That's my mom. That's Juliana McCarthy.
Excellent. Well, what fun for you to go through the family DVD collection and see your parents in presenting themselves in these histrionic ways. That must be a lot of fun. And you had mentioned horror films before, and it's my understanding that you live in Bela Lugosi's former home.
I do. I did not. I know he lived in a number of places in Hollywood, and I did not know where I was living when I first moved in. And in fact, when I first heard it, I didn't really believe it. And it wasn't until sometime later, I was at a screening of The Black Cat at the Arrow Theater, and they had as a special guest Bela Lugosi Jr. And a friend of mine ran up there and demanded to know whether or not it was the right address and place, and described the apartment. He said, yes, that was my father's apartment right there on Harold Way in Hollywood. And I've been there quite a while now, and occasionally tour buses and hearses will pull up front and point at my apartment, And every now and then there is a poetry salon held in the place for poets that want to come and try to channel Bela's vibe.
That's great. Did Lugosi die there, or did he die elsewhere?
He eventually had to move to a hospital.
Yeah.
And he passed away there. But he spent, as I understand it, a lot of time in this place, and which prompted one of my friends to ask if he could pry loose the floorboards or anything to see if there were any vintage narcotics hid anywhere in the building. He wanted to know if there was any of that sort of thing. I guess he was imagining making a fortune on eBay. I talked him out of it.
Good thinking, for lots of reasons. Well, Brendan Constantine is here, and I bet we could swap stories about Hollywood and other places all afternoon.
Sure.
But let's get to a poem. Your most recent book of poetry is titled Calamity Joe. I really enjoyed the persona poems and other poems from this book that I heard down in Lodi a couple months ago.
Oh, wow.
And
thanks.
I'm wondering if you could share an example from that particular book.
Happily. I think what I'll do is I'll start with one of the first poems in the book. The conceit of the book is that although it is a collection of poems, there is a group of characters that return, and the book has a setting. And in fact, the book begins with a cast in order of disappearance, and to sort of get you into the mood of the place that we're going to visit, I'm going to read a poem that occurs early in the book, a poem that takes its title from a genre of music we used to hear about all the time called easy listening. This is a poem called Difficult Listening Time. A flock of pink flamingos moved in across the street and set up plastic people on the lawn. They've faced them out this way, hands molded to their chins, looking more like us as night comes on. Downtown, the waitresses are starving in their aprons. The watchman gets fainter by the hour. It's difficult listening time. Object response time. Time for the tears of things. There has to be a way to help it along. A way to dry the rain as it falls so we can keep these clothes. Let's go to the woods and hang a painting of this room on every tree. We'll go to sea and on each sailboat fix a picture of a hotel bed. Or how about we stay home and talk out every song between us until we sound like heavy, stupid birds.
That was great.
Oh, thank you for saying so.
I really enjoyed it. And that was from this new book, which is titled Calamity Joe.
Indeed.
And which someone online called a gateway drug for poetry.
Oh, my goodness.
A pretty good line.
Oh, that's very nice.
This is a book that was published in March of this year by Brendan Constantine, who has a number of books to his name. And
I would like to mention one other, just because
sure.
I had the unusual good fortune to be able to work with two publishers inside the same year and to release two books within 8 months of each other. I am also still very proud of and promoting a collection that was done with Right Bloody Publishing, a book called Birthday Girl with Awesome. This is a new and very I want to say scrappy publisher that is sort of making up their own rules. And in addition to checking out Red Hen Press, I encourage people to also check out Right Bloody and their authors, because I expect very exciting things from this new press.
Excellent. That's terrific. Well, you're very busy, and more busy than we can represent fairly in a 20-minute segment. So I'm hoping that we'll let people recover from our chat, and in a month or two, I'd like to have you right back, Brendan, and pick up where we left off. I've got some more questions about the L.A. poetry scene that I bet you can answer.
It's an exciting time right now. It really is.
Excellent. Well, that's good, because I was down there with the family. We were mostly in Anaheim, which I regretted. Some of the younger members of the family decided where we were going to stay and what we were going to do. But next time I come down, I definitely want to check out more of the poetry scene in Los Angeles.
Yes, Villaraigosa has just gone ahead and okayed our having a poet laureate program out here. So we're all abuzz with that, and I look forward to perhaps chatting about that and other things next time. Thank you so much for having me on and for the wonderful show that you present.
Absolutely. Brendan Constantine, everybody. Thanks very much, Brendan.
Bye-bye now.
Take care.